So moving on to the second level of protection that the D.C. Circuit cited, federal grand juries will shield former presidents from unwarranted indictments. How much protection is that?
Well, it affords two levels of protection. One is the probable cause finding requires evidence. I think some of the fears about groundless prosecutions aren't supported by evidence, and they're not going to get out of the starting gate.
I mean, there's the old saw about indicting a ham sandwich.
Yes, but I think Justice
Alito, you had a lot of experience in the Justice Department. You come across a lot of cases where the U.S. attorney or another federal prosecutor really wanted to indict a case and the grand jury refused to do so.
There are such cases.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
Yes. But I think that the other
every
level
once
of,
in a while there's an eclipse too.
Well, I think that's for the most reason is prosecutors have no incentive to bring a case to a grand jury and secure an indictment when they don't have evidence to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. It's self-defeating.
All right. Then the third level is that former presidents enjoy all the protections afforded all criminal defendants, right? And we've discussed that, and that may be true at the end of the day, but a lot can happen between the time when an indictment is returned and the time when the former president finally gets a vindication, perhaps on appeal. Isn't that correct?
It is correct, Justice Alito, but I think that we should also consider the history of this country. As members of the court have observed, it's baked into the Constitution.
Can I just say what we're all thinking? The counsel for the representation there for the state or for the feds. Sounds like a chick.
Yeah.
Right?
Beta.
Dude, that dude does not sound like a dude. I heard his voice and I thought, man, that's a alto-y woman. I swear to you. And I looked up at the TV because I was doing stuff. And that was a dude. And I was like, oh, maybe Fox messed up. Let's check. Oh, maybe C-SPAN messed up. They got a dude's name down there. That's a dude is why.
Low T's the thing.
I'm telling you guys all thought the same thing. Don't even act like, Dana, that's so mean. Y'all thought the same thing. I'm just being honest about, you know, where we are and what we're thinking. So welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour this Thursday. I am not going to spend the whole show covering this trial. It's not going to happen. I will sooner rip my own leg off and beat myself to death with my own femur.
It's news, Dana.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit. It's not every time they fart, blinks, talk, drink. I'm not going to sit here and update everybody on it. I'll tell you if something interesting happens. But Dreeben is that dude's last name. Dude's last name. Yeah, it sounds right. So the ongoing immunity, presidential immunity trial has been, has began today. It's historic. I get it. Some of the arguments have been interesting. And like I said, if something interesting happens, we'll cover it. But I'm not going to sit here and we ain't doing that wall-to-wall stuff because I don't have the tolerance for it. Unless somebody's in a white Bronco, you know, holding onto their Heisman in the back crying, I ain't interested. I ain't interested in the wall-to-wall stuff. And I know you aren't either because there's a lot of other stuff happening. And there's other, and we have to do our very important American duty of making fun of dumb people. So, you know, we've got that later on in the show as well. But it's been very, very interesting. And they've had like this, the whole thing, it's just, I feel like we're in an aliens reality show. Right?
Could be.
It's the Real Housewives of Earth. We are in an aliens reality show. That's what it feels like. I wake up every day and I'm like, I'll be damned. Where's the drama today? Every day, the drama. Every day. It does feel like that, doesn't it, though? You guys know it does. So while this is happening today, and like I said, if something crazy happens, if somebody makes a good point, if somebody falls down in the courtroom, I will let you know. I will bring that to you. But Texas, let's take our gaze, Sauron eye style, and just throw it on down to Austin. I haven't been to Austin in a long time. I don't dislike Austin. And everyone's very proud of, they like to say Austin's weird, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I don't dislike Austin, but I don't like people being weird for the sake of being weird. It's either just an effect of who you are, but when you try to do that, it bugs me. I don't get it. And I just, I don't like big gatherings of people in the streets because people drink and people get dumb when they drink. And that's just not my scene. And I think I went to Austin. In fact, the last time I was in Austin, we were there with Dave Burge, a.k.a. Iowa Hawk. We were hanging out with Iowa Hawk and his wife. And Kane, you were there and we were in Austin. Remember, that's literally the last time I was downtown Austin. That's the last time. And dude, was it not when we were there? Yeah. I was afraid to have a beer, even though we walked from the hotel. We were down there for a station event. And I was a little nervous about having a beer. I didn't want to have anything to drink.
I mean, ultimately, we did.
I mean, we did, but I had like and beer because I was nervous about the setting. Not nervous. I was just heightened level yellow aware because there were, I mean, when we were there, how many scuffles? There were three scuffles.
Oh, yeah. Just walking from where we parked to the bar we were going to. It was crazy.
I mean, cops everywhere. And then they had their horses there and I'm all worried about the horses, you know, and horses are probably like, nah, I can't wait to jump on that dude.
I think it was like 2016 or 2017.
It was like 2017. So it was just weird. And it's gotten crazier since then. And, you know, UT's there, and UT's it's a left-leaning campus. That is a left-leaning campus. Now, I was actually surprised it hadn't kicked off at UT earlier, but we had the pro-Hamas protests in Columbia. I'm going through my mental Rolodex. MIT, Harvard, where else? They've been at a ton of different universities. All the Ivy Leagues have had it. They started arresting people in Columbia. And then it kicked off in Austin at UT yesterday. They decided to do the same thing. And it's all nationally organized and handing out the same stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So it kicks off in UT. And I don't know if we have any. I know I put some stuff in Slack last night. But some of this stuff, what is this? Audio soundbite? Do we have any of this? I was going to say, can we play any of it? Is it a little... Probably can't have any of the audio.
We're doing the video.
Okay, yeah. Probably can't have any of the audio.
Play by play it.
Yeah. And the cops were not having it. So they went in. They were not dealing with it at all. They were not having it. Because they were trying to do the same thing. They were gonna occupy the quad, occupy the common areas. And I thought it was interesting that the police were more diverse than the protesters, than the pro-Hamas protesters. There were more. The diversity was greater in the ranks of the police than the protesters. I just saw a bunch of protesters. I saw one protester, some dumpy white dude who looked like Gru from The Incredibles. And this is why dudes should not wear skinny pants, particularly if you are shaped like a tomato on a toothpick. You should not wear skinny pants because you straight up look like Gru from The Incredibles. And this dude was all up in it looked like he had gym shorts wrapped around his head. He was all up in everybody's faces. I can't play any of that audio for you because I think every word was F. Yeah. Maybe with a preposition thrown in. We can't play any of it. But he got in the cops' faces and was screaming all kinds of stuff. It was wild. And so they were all in support. It was a pro-Hamas support. They were condemning Israel and they were supporting Hamas in Gaza. And so they were making arrests because they started telling people, you need to disperse, you need to disperse. People weren't dispersing. And Greg Abbott was on Twitter. And he was saying that, you know, yeah, I mean, this is what happens. You know, you mess around, you're going to find out. I mean, I have a lot of video on my Twitter timeline as well. But he goes, arrests are being made right now and will continue until the crowd disperses. These protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. Students joining in hate-filled anti-Semitic protests at any public college or university in Texas should be expelled. Oh my gosh, and here come the contrarian fake conservatives who don't understand what's the very first thing that Greg Abbott said? And look, I got my disagreements with Abbott, but I cannot stand these pathetic, thirsty ass wannabe influencers on the right that are trying to get their podcast going. Oh my gosh, they're trying to get their Twitter account more engagement. They're trying to get something. And so they say stupid stuff like, you can't arrest because we got the First Amendment. It's free speech. You know how many people that say that they're on the right that demonstrated their inability to actually practice reading comprehension yesterday were saying that? This is where I hate my own side, because we just have a bunch of thirsty whores on the right that are desperate to get attention and engagement. And so they go out there Leroy Jenkins style and they say this stuff. Kane, what is the I said it. Everybody can literally bite my backside. What's the first line of this tweet? It says, arrest being made right now and will continue until what? The crowd disperses.
Oh, yeah.
So what's rule number one? I've been to a lot of protests. Maybe some of these thirsty, you know, thirsty righty engagement thoughts out there haven't, but I've been to a ton of protests. I can't tell you how many times I was almost arrested. And they don't care if you, they don't care. What's the number one rule? When they tell you to disperse, guess what? You best be dispersing. Dispersing. You best be. Because then the cuffs come out. That's what happens. So they're at UT and they were given an order from what, and I've got a lot of my kids' friends at UT. And I know a lot of UT parents and I know some UT professors. When you're given an order to disperse, you have to disperse. And the crowd was getting rowdy. It had nothing to do with free speech. They're not out there arresting people randomly for free speech. That's the stupidest thing I've heard. And yes, I am very caustic and very harsh towards members of my own side that take this progressive approach to this and make up something because they want engagement. No one was going out there and arresting people randomly for free speech. When you're given a dispersal order and you don't disperse, shocker, you might get arrested. That's what happened. So they were getting arrested, but the way that the right, people on the right, were trying to misrepresent Abbott's tweet. And again, don't make me sit here and be an Abbott defender. I mean, I don't dislike the guy, but I don't like sounding like somebody's number one defender. That aggravates me. But what he said, they go, oh, well, he's arresting people because they're expressing anti-Semitism. The first sentence he said was, and as Juan is showing you on the simulcast, arrests being made right now and will continue until the crowd disperses. Until what? The crowd disperses. When you're given a dispersal order, you must disperse. Just the way it goes. Now, he says that students joining a hate-filled anti-Semitic blah, 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 they should be expelled. He said should be expelled. Does Greg Abbott not also have freedom of speech? That's his opinion. He says they should be expelled. Doesn't mean they're going to be. Dispersal orders, when a property tells you to disperse and you're not dispersing, then you're going to get in trouble for that. That's technically not considered free speech. That's trespass at that point. So trespass isn't free speech. Just like hijacking property isn't free speech, right? None of that's free speech. That's not protected from actionable, any kind of action taken against it. That's the whole point of it. So people out there saying that they were randomly arresting people for speaking freely are morons, including anyone on the right that was saying this. And you deserve every bit of the harshness because you're part of the problem. Now, there's a difference between those two. Now, when you get into anti-Semitism, etc., people have the right to be as anti-Semitic and as racist and as bigoted and as hateful and as freakish as they want to be. Let the freak flag fly. I've said this for years. But when you start hijacking property and when you start assaulting other students, when you start barring students' movements to other buildings, and then when you start inciting, that takes something else entirely. We've seen that a number of other universities. We're going to talk more about this. Today, we're diving into the future of health with Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. So what exactly is Lumen? Lumen measures your metabolism through your breath. You just breathe into Lumen first thing in the morning, and it tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. It's like having your own personal nutritionist in the palm of your hand. And I really like the idea of this thing. So not only does Lumen give you real-time insights into your metabolism, but it also provides personalized nutrition plans tailored to your body's needs for the day. And here's why metabolic health matters. Your metabolism is your body's engine, powering everything from your workouts to your sleep. And Lumen helps you optimize it for easier weight management, improved energy levels, and better overall health. But what about metabolic flexibility? Well, it's crucial. That's your body's ability to switch between using different fuel sources like carbs and fat. And Lumen, it helps track and improve your metabolic flex score, putting you in control of your health journey. So if you're ready to take charge of your health, head over to lumen.me and use code DanaShow at checkout for $100 off your very own Lumen. That's Lumen.me and use code DanaShow for $100 off. And remember, it's .me. That is Lumen.me. Don't wait. Your health journey starts now.
Don't ever let anyone tell you that having a national debt isn't a problem. What portion of your dollar that you sent to Uncle Sam is just paying down our national debt? 40%. 40 cents of every dollar is just interest on our spending. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, Harvey Weinstein. Golly, he looks like a deflated balloon now. He's been in jail. Now he's acting like he's all, oh, it's got health. He was certainly didn't have any health issues when he was raping all those women. The New York Court of Appeals has overturned his rape conviction. He was serving 20. Now, he's still in jail because he was convicted in California, right? That was on a whole separate thing. He was spending 23 years in prison for felony sex crimes. He's going to remain in jail because of the other conviction. But this one was overturned. And there's a lot of questions as to whether or not they had some of these witnesses that came forward that weren't victims, but were like somehow adjacent to the case. And there was questions at the time as to why the judge even allowed, you know, a lot of this prejudicial stuff in the trial. Like, are you trying to get it to where it's overturned and appeal later? Which, you know, I wouldn't be surprised with some of these cats, honestly. But so we'll see where this goes from here. But yeah, he still has to remain in the pokey. He still has to stay there. So, well, that's just wild, wild, wild. Airlines have to now pay automatic refunds for canceled flights. I think that's great because the days of, we'll take it up with the airline later. Nah, heck no. When you guys mess up, you guys need to make it right with the customer. If you're going to be federally regulated, then yeah, then that means that we can also regulate this aspect. So that's just saying, if you don't like the federal regulation, then privatize and support privatization of airlines because you're going to get better customer service. But with this, it should be. So they said if they're significantly altered, now they got to be automatically refunded. It is a pain in the butt if you got to get a refund anything with airlines. So I can't believe that this was a story from the Sacramento Bee. They were questioning whether or not California was really a high tax state. And they're trying to say, well, other states' sales taxes are higher. Yeah, but hi, have you looked at your property taxes and have you looked at your state income tax? Have you looked at any of that stuff? That's kind of crazy. Let's see. This Dollar General employee got some trans activists went ham on them because they said that they misgendered them. We'll talk more about that coming up. We got a lot still. Stick with us. Field of Greens. They want to make it easy for you. They got a whole team of physicians that selected each superfruit and vegetable in Field of Greens for a specific health benefit. So some of the stuff, you know, it supports your heart. Some of it supports, you know, healthy metabolism, all of that. And when your body is getting everything that it requires in order to run optimally all day long, I mean, you can definitely tell the difference. So you take one scoop, mix it with 8 ounces of a preferably healthy beverage, meaning don't dump it in beer, okay? Like, you can make a smoothie out of it. You can put it in some club soda, whatever you want to do. And you're going to notice. And this is a 100% money-back guarantee. It has a 100% money back guarantee. So if you don't love it for any reason, like if Martians come down and convince you not to love it when it's working really well for you, you get a 100% money back guarantee. 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. So it's great for people like me because I'll eat broccoli and that's it. Everything else is disgusting. You know, it's like, I don't care. I'm a toddler and I don't care. So to start, Field of Greens wants to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana and trust Field of Greens for better health. That's fieldofgreens.com, code Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The main thing they were chanting was Free Palestine. How is that anti-Semitic?
Well, what's anti-Semitic is that Hamas endorsed this protest today. Within the last 2 hours, they issued an endorsement statement and heralded the students here and said, this is the next generation of leadership in America. If you're getting endorsed by Hamas, that's not a good look. It's not a good sign.
Well, how is, isn't that the interesting construct? Because they go, these are the people who were like, oh, the tiki torches at Charlottesville, which, you know, the tiki torch dudes. Yeah, that was bad, but this is okay to the left. Notice the construction of the question that Erin Burnett asks here. She asks Mike Johnson, How is chanting free Palestine anti-Semitic? Now, let's break this down for a moment, because the way that she's asking the question, she's immediately contextualizing the entire debate as though it's all limited to simply students chanting free Palestine. So how's chanting free Palestine anti-Semitic? Now, there are two ways you can go with this. And keep in mind that when you're explaining, you're losing. Even if you are right, you're losing. You got to shut it down like in 30 seconds. So we'll explore the other way, the explaining you're losing way, in a moment. How is chanting free Palestine anti-Semitic? The point, the first off, well, why would you frame it that way? How is screaming kill the Jews? How is screaming you want another Holocaust? How is screaming we love Hamas not considered anti-Semitic, Aaron? Because there's a lot of video from not just one and not just two, but multiple protests at these college campuses where you had groups, rather large groups of students saying these things in organized chants. So how is that not anti-Semitic? You're trying to just reduce everything down to something very innocuous. Well, how is saying free Palestine anti-Semitic? Well, how is saying gas the Jews and chanting that, as one group did at Columbia on video, how is that not anti-Semitic? Do you see the point here? There have been tons of anti-Semitic things said. There have been students targeted because they were Jewish, which is anti-Semitic. Why are you ignoring that in favor of the very safe place? Well, how is simply chanting free Palestine anti-Semitic? They're trying to excuse the actual bigotry of everything by reducing it all down to this simple chant. Now, honestly, now let's go to the explaining your, you could also say, and this is the alternative. Well, yes, chanting free Palestine, it's the presupposition. By arriving at that position, you are in effect saying that Israel are colonizers, that they are occupiers, that they are keeping these people, what's the phrase, open-air prison. I mean, clearly it's not. When you're saying free Palestine, you are endorsing fraudulent arguments against another nation because of the other nation's religion. That by itself is anti-Semitic. When you say from the river to the sea, why is that ignored for just free Palestine? What does from the river to the sea mean? That means the total annihilation of a sovereign nation due to their religion, because from the river Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea, what's in between there? The entirety of Israel. That's what they're talking about. So how is it not? Now, whether or not it's protected speech or not protected speech, I mean, First Amendment covers even anti-Semites and racists. Speech is speech. But there are certain lines that if you cross, whether it's inciting, libel, defamation, slander, things like that, that you are not protected from having legal action taken against you, which means that that wasn't free speech. It came at a cost. It wasn't that you were prevented from saying it. It just came at a cost. And I think a lot of people don't understand that concept of free speech. It's not saying that someone's preventing you from making it. It means that if you make it and it's not considered legally protected, there is a cost. Thus, it is not free. So I think when you are inciting people and engaging in the unprotected forms that I mentioned, that's not actual free speech. But that's not really the entire issue here at these college campuses, is it? Because we're seeing people hijacked, and it's on public university and private university, hijack these spaces and actually prevent students from accessing parts of the building they need to access. There was video of a Jewish student who was entirely surrounded by pro-Hamas protesters. That student feared for their safety. I mean, this has been happening for some time now, and now it's really amping up because, you know, you had Cedar, and then you also have elections coming up. They're using it as a get out the vote mechanism. So that's just a horrible, that immediately, that's bias. It's bias and it's a disingenuous question that is not predicated upon any kind of goodwill intent. And I got really aggravated. I did. I got really ticked off, as you can tell, over just some of the stuff that I saw last night with regard to the Texas stuff and people acting like, you know, as we were talking about, when you're given a dispersal order, you got to disperse, otherwise you might be arrested. Then you can be cited for trespass. Trespass is not considered legally protected speech. And if anybody, you know, I mean, I don't want to name names, but you probably know them. If some of the contrarians that are looking for engagement on the right want to argue this, give me your address. Let me show up on your front yard. And then you tell me if you think that what I'm about to do is considered a protected form of speech. It's goofy. Take your wins. Golly. I'm tired of seeing the right allow itself to get cucked by the left over and over again. And that's what it is. So a few other things with this, because we've seen these protests and you see people defending this and not exactly understanding what free speech is, which is wild to me. Let me share with you this. And I saw this. This has to do, I'm pulling this up, so bear with me. This has to do with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Now, one of the things that they are doing is they are expanding, here it is, it's USCIS to open international field offices in Qatar and Turkey. The press release, which came out 2 days ago, says the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services today announced the upcoming opening of international field offices in Doha, Qatar, and they're also opening in Turkey. They're increasing capacity for refugee processing, blah, 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 blah. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because they're expanding the amount of quote-unquote refugees that they're taking in, which is interesting. I mean, consider the number that is coming across the border, and now you have these, now they're expanding. They said for the fiscal year, they're setting the refugee admissions ceiling at 125,000 refugees, establishing USCIS field offices in Qatar and Turkey is going to support the U.S. refugee admissions program, infrastructure in the region, etc. 125,000. So that's a lot. I mean, think of it. That's quite a lot. So they're opening these refugees intakes. I mean, from Qatar and Turkey. I mean, we don't have enough people screaming death to America here right now? This 125,000 limit, the reason I brought up the southern border is because nobody who's coming across the southern border is included in that total. This is 125,000 just from those areas. 125,000, not touching on the millions from the southern border. And remember, the people who come in at the southern border, they don't even fully process them. So does it count only if they're actually like, they go through the whole processing, every step of the processing, and then they're counted? I was looking at Kane asking that, because I'm like, is that how? Because I know I know the gotaways aren't counted. I know a lot of them at the border aren't counted. But I remember somebody in Customs and Border Patrol saying, well, you know, you got to go through the whole, you have to go through every step of processing in order to have them fully counted. Wow. Yeah. So they said they're going to assume responsibility for processing form I-730, blah, blah, blah. And now the I-730 is an interesting thing, because I want you to listen to the way they describe this. It says it provides limited services, et cetera, et cetera. It is the refugee asylee relative petition. That is what the I-730 form is. The refugee asylee relative petition. Do you know what that means? That means the relatives of that refugee. that form is that so they can then bring in family members. Because the United States is like the only country where you can say, no, I got a blood relative over there. I got a relative over there. I should be able to come in. You can't do that anywhere else. I've had friends who've tried. You literally cannot do that in any other country except the United States. Everywhere else is like, can you demonstrate some kind of merit? We don't care who you're related to. Demonstrate merit. What are you bringing us? You can't say that in the United States, because what part of the consequences of being the world's powerhouse is that everyone resents you and makes up stupid DEI rules that are used to diminish your sovereignty while they don't apply those same rules to their own borders. But, you know, there it is. Didn't Germany do this? How well has that worked out in Germany with their exploding crime rate? Or parts of France, even. I mean, this has been an absolute disaster, the implementation of something like this for a lot of these European countries. And now the Biden administration is opening it wide up. Now, the family members, it's interesting. Those asylee family members as part of that I-730 form, that's not going to be part of the 125,000. So it's actually going to be double, maybe triple, maybe quadruple that. And again, those who come across the southern border are also not included in that total. So that's incredibly important to pay attention to. Because you have people who come over to the United States, and that's why acclimation and assimilation are incredibly important. That's why the number one identity in the United States is, do you want to be free? You can be an American. Can't do that anywhere else. But you have people who come over here who don't want that as their identity. They want to have either Islamic jurisprudence as their main identity, Sharia, their main identity, which is what that is. Everything else but freedom, being an American. And that has created a lot of problems. And it's going to get worse. Ask Sweden how it's been going, because they've implemented similar measures. Ask them how it's going. Now we're going to get a taste of it here, even more so. We have more to come as we roll towards. I know, I just gave you some great, great stories today, right? I know, I'm sorry. We'll try to make it happy here coming up. Gold Coast Precious Metals is one of those partners, and they just want to make sure that you understand the economy and how gold IRAs work, how the whole thing works. And they have a free wealth protection kit to arm you with the facts about how to protect yourself with inflation, exploding national debt, the whole nine yards. And they've helped people like all of us, people like you and me, place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And they're very thorough with the information that they provide. They give a kit to you to explain how all this works. They make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And this is an important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. No pressure. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of the show while supplies last. And get your free gold kit from Gold Co. That's go to DanaLikesGold.com. It's DanaLikesGold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
How many times indeed does he have to prove that you can't be trusted? I mean, that's when he accidentally makes sense. Yeah, truth came up. Oh, boy. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. So today we got a lot of stuff to hit, and a lot of stuff even more to hit, because we got some FCC stuff and all kinds. And it's going to be... man... Either November or Jesus or Smod need to, you know, get here and get done with. Actually, Jesus or Smod. I'll take either one of those at this point. So we have the immunity trial, the presidential immunity. Well, that's being discussed. The arguments are being made before SCOTUS today. And then now we just got this in from FCC. They just voted to restore net neutrality that Trump repealed. Wow. So, and they were voting again to impose government controls. We had Brendan Carr on this a couple of weeks ago. They voted to impose government controls on the internet. Carr opposed it. And You have the left that's been trying to weaponize the FCC to go after Elon Musk. You have the left that's been trying to weaponize the FCC to silence conservatives. And we're going to talk a little bit about what this means. This insane, because they keep, net neutrality is such a, it's so stupid. It's not neutral at all. It's the government putting its finger on the scale and everyone's acting like it's like, oh, it's helping neutrality. People don't even know what it is. It's embarrassing. So it's just a bunch of fun news today. We got the refugee stuff, you know, King. We got that happening. We've got the FCC stuff. You got the protests at college campuses. You got people on the right who are going, but I thought occupying property and trespass were free speech. No. Those people, you know, it's just, we got a barrel of laughs today, King.
Yeah, and by the way, it's becoming worse. Every single week, there's something else that gets piled on to the crazy. And you're like, wow, I didn't think it could get worse. But here we are.
So what do you guys do to, you know, get away from it? What do you do to get away from it, Kane?
I don't know. I make fun of it every day on the air with you. Mm. It's kind of helpful.
I have a couple activities.
Yeah?
I crochet skulls.
Crochet skulls?
Yeah. I'm working on a beautiful granny square blanket, in fact, of skulls.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty amazing. It's my own pattern.
I like it.
Yeah. It's, I'm very excited about it. And then play FPS games.
The pirate quilt?
No, just skulls.
Just skulls?
Yeah. I haven't done like a Jolly Roger or anything. Play first person shooter. But then even that is getting politicized, like with the Warhammer stuff.
Oh, yes.
Everything is getting politicized because they can't leave you alone. So coming up, this is what we got on deck. Number one, the latest of college protests, because now the teachers at UT, they're saying, well, we're not going to come to work. They're threatening no classes, no work, no assignments. They should threaten also no awarding of degrees. Biden's heading to Syracuse against the wishes of the police there. And that pier in Gaza, it's already under attack. Stay with us. Folks over at Patriot Mobile, it is the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and they want to save you money. They have the best service, dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best service in your area, but without funding the left. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy to switch, and you can get free activation using code Dana. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Oh!
You saw the lips moving on that one.
Yeah, it just, oddly, there was no, he beeped, though. Right. It's crazy. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh here, top of second hour. I gotta tell you, those workers, dude, sometimes I'm like, did we just become best friends? I think we did. Are we best friends now? I think we are. Oh, it just warms my heart. It's hard to do. So welcome back, top of the second hour with you. Dana Lesh here. You can listen coast to coast. You can find us all over the internet. Do I got to go down the laundry list of where we're at?
It helps every now and again.
For real? Yeah. They laugh at me. Yeah. We're at X. We're at all the places where you can stream stuff. And the Facebooks and all that. We're all there. We're all there. All those places. Also find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse. And I'm on Instagram. All that. And good stuff. Good stuff. Usually it's memes and videos. It's really what it is.
A little more than that.
Because I hate doing the influencer stuff. I hate doing that. I hate doing it. Oh, it's our sales department's going to murder me. So welcome back. They're not too happy, man. Those union workers, they're in New York. They're not too happy, right? I'm just saying that if I was going to pick a kickball team, that guy would be my first pick. If I was captain,
right.
I think he'd be my first pick.
Yeah.
I think I'd be like, yeah, I want him. Let's play Audio Sun by 13, because this is a New York union leader, Bobby Bartels. Dang, what a New York union leader name. Like, if I had to make up a New York union leader name, I don't think I could do any better than Bobby Bartels. It's like central casting. Anyway, listen to this. Audio Soundbite 13.
In the past, We are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group, and we love our country, and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be.
The Democrats have become the party of the ultra-wealthy and...
Wow, these dudes. He's like, yeah, we're basically Democrats, but, you know, Democrats have pushed everybody to the other side. And he's not wrong. Democrats have decided, well, we don't want union workers and blue collar workers anymore. What we want is Islamofascists and dudes who tuck. And those are going to be our two demos. You laugh, but I'm right.
Nobody wants that.
They do. They want that. That's what they want. Why? It's like a barely 1% of the... What is the matter with you? And then they want the Dearbornistan. That whole area. They want that. They want like the Islamofascist, you know, the people that did all of that. Come on. Come on. I was telling you. So that's who Democrats want. They've left the center. They've been gone for a while. I've been telling you this. Now, how do you gotta make a coalition with these people? I'm still, even with all of this, this is where I get worried. Because I know I say, don't believe the polling. And I still think you shouldn't believe the polling because it hasn't really ever been. It wasn't right in 2016. And it also, you know, they were predicting this like giant red wave in 2020 that never manifests because Republican enthusiasm was gone. And I'm worried about what that's going to look like now going into November, because it should not be a statistical dead heat. Biden is, I think I was only alive for like a blip of Carter's presidency. But Biden seems like is he bad or worse than Carter? For the people who lived through Carter, I'm curious if they think Biden is as bad or worse than Carter. You think it's where you were not even an adult when Carter was president. You don't get an opinion in this.
I wasn't an adult, but I sure lived through that. I remember those days.
I only want to hear from the people who were like young adults and up in Carter's presidency, because they can compare. I am fascinated as to what they think comparing these two, what they think. I mean, no offense to everybody else, but you know, you didn't live through it. Is I heard all these bad stories growing up, like, oh my gosh, I read Carter's biography, which was, man, he's just, I mean, everything that we have going on in the Middle East is because of Jimmy Carter. It's because of him. Biden, I will say, golly, I'm not trying to defend Carter at all. Oh, heavens no. How can I rephrase this to where it's like anything but that? Carter sounded sentient. You know what I mean? And he didn't walk like he was going to fall over on flat grass. Biden is just a horrific president. I think part of the reason why Biden's such a bad president is because he's not acting as president. I mean, he's literally not the acting president. He's not the real president. He's the figurehead. Everybody else behind the scenes, those are the people calling the shots. And it's a chaotic and it's a mess because you have a million different people running the White House. Instead of Joe Biden. That's why. There's no unified message. There's no consistency. There's no continuity. It's just all over chaos. And that's what happens when you have a number of people ruling in someone else's name. That's why you have it. At least Carter was consistently heinous. I mean, I will say that is Joe Biden's consistency, too. It's just the heinous decisions that are being made. But at least, you know, I don't want to say at least Carter was aware of who he was and where he was and what he was doing and who he was talking to. But it's a mess. Absolute mess. And now you have the FCC reinstating net neutrality rules. And it's immediately being slammed, as it should be. So they voted to approve this regulation to reinstate the regulation of broadband internet access as a telecom service. They first imposed this back in 2015 under Obama, and Trump repealed it in 2017. And it's the government. It was a 3-2 vote. It was it's the government putting its finger on the scale. Just a mess of a decision. A mess. And that's not even all of them. Let me pull this up because I got a few. Where's my... Here it is. So in addition to that, we're talking about these college protests. So this is new from UT. Faculty at UT Austin are threatening, quote, no classes, no work, no assignments. They put out a statement and saying that they are upset over the police there. And they're not going to have no business as usual tomorrow, no work, nothing. They're telling everyone to gather and protest. Okay, so in tenure, I think that they should go even further. I think in tenure, suspend the awarding of all degrees, suspend all fall scholarships, so make it real difficult for the freshmen coming into public funding because they get taxpayer dollars. And the Texas legislature should consider implementing some sort of penalty for institutions that betray their public duty while receiving taxpayer dollars. I feel like that makes sense. I had someone, because this is what gets me, some of the responses here. Someone had responded, and it was a Greek troll. They're on their bio. This is from Greece. It's like, why do I care what you think? You don't even live here. But they... We're saying that when was supporting Israel public duty? Like, wow, what did you miss? Guess what? I go where my taxpayer dollars go. And if people dislike that, they can go pound all the sand in the Sahara. Go pound every grain. Because I go where my tax dollars go. Where my tax dollars go becomes my business. But I'm Greg Abbott, I'm so tired of people on the right that are saying, oh, well, yes, you know, no one's saying anti-Semitism is a crime. They're saying that if you're not dispersing, if a dispersal order is given and you're not dispersing, guess what? You can be removed. And that's what's happening. If anyone on the right believes that Greg Abbott is sending out the guard just to go randomly arrest students, those people are part of the reason why conservatism is struggling and the Republican Party is failing. They are. It's annoying. I thought we had, I almost said I thought we had smarter people on the right in the Republican Party than this, but my bad, we don't. Now in Gaza, I don't know if you guys saw this, they've already been attacking the pier. Okay, so let's go back for a moment. Do you guys remember, let me pull this up, what was like this floating pier that they were going to create? And they were going to get aid to Gaza, right? That was kind of, that was the plan. Did they start? I don't even think they have it built yet. Let me pull up my notes on this. I don't even think they have.
I thought they finished it, but maybe not.
I don't know. I mean, if Joe Biden's behind it. No, it's not even done yet. It's just a construction. Oh, jeez. So here's the story. Terrorists launched mortars at the maritime construction site and damaged several pieces of engineering equipment. So Gazan terrorists apparently already have attacked that pier being built off the coast of Gaza. Great. It's that floating pier so that they could channel that humanitarian aid to Hamas. Because that's who's going to take it. Let's not pretend otherwise. I'm saving everybody time. They're sending that. It's very important that they also provide aid to Hamas. And so it's already been attacked. Actually, I'm kind of surprised it just now happened, if I'm being real. But, you know, it's kind of where it is. So it's already happening. It's already happening. In the meantime, the IDF says that the operation in Rafah is going to happen very soon. They're already telegraphing this. They said that they had approved the latest plan for the Rafah operation after three previous plans had been suggested. Of course, the U.S. government is opposed to it. What it sounds like, because it says that they're still preparing this ground operation. They said they wanted to establish a joint operation with the U.S. The U.S. is opposing the Rafah operation. So basically, the Biden administration didn't agree with Israel wanting to have this ground op in Rafah. And so it sounds like they're going it alone. And this is weird because the other thing that they, one of the deals that the Biden administration was trying to strike with Israel in terms of using the IDF is they wanted the IDF to secure the land when they get on land from the floating pier. They wanted the IDF to secure that. Now, think about that for a moment. It's in Gaza. You're delivering humanitarian aid to the aggressor in the Israel-Gaza conflict. And the story, and this comes by way of a couple of entities, said the mobilized brigades were going to be placed under the 99th Division during the first few months of the IDF's ground offensive. They had been tasked with this so-called Netzarim corridor in the central of Gaza Strip, which is an east-west route. One of the brigades is going to again be deployed to that east-west belt, dividing the strip in two. The second is going to help secure the pier that's being built by the U.S. So, what? So Biden didn't want to commit to American boots on the ground. So they were going to use IDF, which is absurd, because the IDF is fighting Hamas and Gazans that support Hamas, and yet they're supposed to secure the land there for the aid from the floating pier that Gazans have already attacked. Does any of this make sense to you? This sounds like Biden came up with it. I will give him this one. It sounds like he came up with this one. We have more on this. We got headlines on the way as well as we roll towards the bottom of this, our second hour here. Black Rifle Coffee is veteran-owned, veteran-roasted. They hire veteran and active duty. They support our first responders. They support our law enforcement. But you know what? That's all great and everything. But you're like, okay, well, they're in the business to make coffee. What the hell's a coffee taste like? Coffee's great. I mean, they have all these great roasts. The Tactus Squatch has been the thing. For whatever reason, I've been stuck on this roast for like 4.5 weeks now. But it's premium coffee served to people who love America. And they get the best beans in the world. And they bring them back to their facilities in here in the U.S., in Tennessee and Utah, where they roast them 5 days a week. And they everything that they do is about paying homage to American culture and our military history. It's one of the reasons why the big coffee hates them so bad, because they're mainstreaming Americana. They're mainstreaming 2A. They have a variety of choices, too, for their coffee. Ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. They got apparel. They got kettles, grinders, mugs, everything that you want for your perfect brew. And you can save money by joining the coffee club. You pick your roast, the frequency of shipment, and you get free shipping right to your front door. It's awesome. Try it for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today, and I got you 20% off using my name, code Dana. 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So now, apparently, there was a midlife crisis, and not the awesome Faith No More song. But now there's a new quarter life crisis. I think they're just trying to invent people crises for people to get upset about. So they're trying to say that now younger people are having a quarter life crisis. Shut up. Shut up. You know what? If they're having a crisis, it's because bad policy has made everything unaffordable. And who did that? Who did it? Who voted for that? Wasn't me. Wasn't you. You know who it was. A tourist was mauled after rolling down a window to take a selfie with a bear. Guys, I like animals too, but you gotta stop doing this. It's a Scottish tourist. They had a close encounter. It sent her to the emergency room. 72-year-old Moira Gallagher had been vacationing in Romania with her friend. The woman decided to go for a drive through the Carpathian Mountains. She came across a couple of brown bears. She tried to get a wildlife photo. And then she said the bear came up to the window. We went, rolled down. They wanted to get a proper picture. They had to take her away in a stretcher. You know why? Because she said it was a mummy bear and a baby. Yeah, because it was a mama bear. There's a reason why there's a stereotype about that. What's the matter with you? Stop it. And apparently cicadas are so noisy in South Carolina County, in one county, that residents are calling the police per NBC. Yeah, they're calling the police. What do you expect them to do? They're emerging from the underground. And apparently the sheriff's office is getting multiple calls in Newberry County saying that the cicadas are super loud. Well, that's nature. I like the sound, honestly. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Hi, I'm Margaret, a rhetoric and media major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is not surprising that he would go out to Columbia University and stir up really more anger and hate and endanger the lives of young people who are at the encampment at Columbia University.
That's Hamas, president of the Hamas fan club, Ilhan Omar, she's mad at Mike Johnson because he went to Columbia and made remarks. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of the second hour. So what did Mike Johnson say? Audio soundbite 4. This is what he said. Listen.
Today, Hamas issued an endorsement statement of the protesters on this campus. They called them the future leaders of America. It is detestable. All of this has to be said because the cherished traditions of this university are being overtaken right now by radical and extreme ideologies. They place a target on the backs of Jewish students in the United States and here on this campus. A growing number of students have chanted in support of terrorists. They have chased down Jewish students. They have mocked them and reviled them. They have shouted racial epithets. They have screamed at those who bear the Star of David. Enjoy your free speech.
So what was threatening about that? I mean, he was highlighting exactly what these protesters are doing. And when you're chasing people and running after them, you're threatening them. That's how is that protected speech? You know, I've asked a couple of I asked one of my friends who got mad at me wouldn't respond because they were trying to disagree with me privately on this issue of free speech. Like, it's free speech. You can't just arrest people. Nobody's getting randomly arrested for free speech. If you ignore an order to disperse, you can absolutely be arrested. If you're chasing down a Jewish student because they're Jewish and you're scaring them and trying to intimidate them and threatening their safety, that's not considered a form of protected speech. You might be arrested for that. If you hijack property and don't leave, you could be cited for trespassing. That's not protected speech either. And if people on the right, including my friend, thinks that that's protected speech, go ahead and you just let me have your home address, or I'll go to my friend's house and I'll protest in a similar manner on their yard towards their family. And then they can tell me if they think it's protected speech or not. It's just goofy. And Mike Johnson, who has his faults, was not intimidating anyone there. So Ilhan Omar says that he was trying to endanger the lives of people, of young people who are at the encampment. She makes them sound like they're 14-year-olds and not 20-something-year-olds. Grown adult people who are doing this at these college campuses. They're not babies. They're not children. They're grown adults. And how does recounting the greatest hits of their offenses that are not considered legally protected speech, how is that in any way making anything, how is that endangering them? At Columbia, they've been endangering others. At Harvard, they've been endangering others. I think Texas very strictly enforced its orders of dispersing because they don't want to see what happened at UT, what was taking place in Columbia. They don't want it to grow and get worse. The first offense, yes, they're going to react to it. I mean, you either respect property rights or you don't. So whenever you hear somebody, even another conservative, conservative, say, oh, well, this is just free speech, ask them. So you don't believe in property rights then? So you think that I can come on your property and protest how I want to? Well, no, that's okay, because that's the issue here. No one's, they're trying to conflate and they're trying to conflate an issue by acting like they support free speech, because they're horribly trying to triangulate this whole issue. They want to be taken seriously by the left, and they're trying to maintain some kind of relevancy with the left or a capital L libertarians, while ignoring how property rights factor into this. I can't go on your property and start doing all that stuff, just like you can't come on my property and start doing all that stuff. That has nothing to do with speech. No one's being arrested for being an anti-Semite. And if that were the case, you wouldn't see anybody on MSNBC. They'd all be gone. They'd all be in jail. People aren't being arrested for expressing their backwoods views on people of different faiths. They're being arrested if they trespass. They're being arrested if they hijack property and then don't disperse when the police say, get moving. I mean, that's if they don't leave when the college tells them to leave, then that's a problem. I can't believe I have to spell it out like this for some people. It's kind of wild. But it is what it is. They're trying to make this take this all the way. I mean, how long are they going to do this? What are they going to do after college, after classes are over? You see how poorly timed this can be? What are they going to do when classes are over? You think those college kids are going to stay there on campus and do this? Because the only way that they get attention is if they stay on campus to do this, right? Do you think anybody's going to care about what they do when they leave and they go home? No. People are going to go, why the hell aren't you working a job? They're not going to care if they're protesting. They're not going to care about that. So there's a shelf life on this. Lorraine reminds me, too, because I've been to more protests than I can count. I've participated in more protests than I can count, and I've organized more protests than I can count. And I will never forget in St. Louis, whenever we did anything Tea Party, they forced us to get insurance for events and marches and everything. They forced us to get insurance. Otherwise, they'd fine us. And they forced us to have porta-johns, all of that.
And who they let in.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't litter. We had to pick everything up. And then in the meantime, a year later, they had to occupy people out there. And it was in Keener Plaza. In order to organize an event, and just have people meet. It wasn't like an official thing. If they like the city would actually find who was involved and reach out and be like, you've got to get a permit to do this. Now, there were several people involved I was one of the three people involved in like organizing some of the stuff. My response, and I was not allowed to talk to anybody in City Hall anymore, was to tell them to go do something unflattering to themselves and pound sand, because my First Amendment was my permit. And then I had other people that said, no, we got to pay for this permit. Otherwise, they're going to come down and arrest us. They actually said they would do that. They would come down and arrest us if we didn't have a permit. I can't tell you how many times I've been told I was going to be arrested. They're like, we're going to arrest you if you don't have a permit. If you don't have a porta-john, you're going to get arrested. I'm like, we're doing a march around the city. How are we going to have, why would we have a porta-john, Kane?
And the Occupy group, they were literally pooping on cop cars.
Yeah.
It's like, we were required to get porta-potties.
One of them pooped on a statue in downtown St. Louis.
Yeah, they're just like pooping on things. It was their thing.
Can I just bring up? Can I bring up something just somewhat related but not wholly? How can you just let go like that in public?
I know.
Like there are some people out there who have a problem with just public bathrooms in general. How do you just go in the middle of the public, not in a public bathroom? How do you just poop on a statue? How does that happen? How do you just drop a deuce on a cop car? Like, do you just eat a lot of fiber that day? Like, you plan to do it?
I'm not home. It's tough to do.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, those are weird people. Yeah. I mean, yes, they're weird because of what they're doing, but also that they can is weird. That they physically can, that's weird. You must really, really hate police just to be able to do that. What is the word for it? Poop shy. That's like a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Anyway, they did all kinds. I mean, they did. They trashed Kiener Plaza. Trashed it. Property was damaged. Oh, my gosh. It was a mess.
I'm sure there's a lot of arrests, though.
Oh, yeah, well, there were some, and then they stopped arresting people. My favorite, I got to tell you the story, because I worked, I was on air, and this is before I was syndicated, and I was on air in the evenings. And it was one of the guys that we used to work with who did news at the station we were at. And I was on break, and he bursts into the studio, and he was like, oh, my gosh, and he got video of it on his phone. And there was a guy who was apparently it was a couple of guys, and they were driving around because Kiener Plaza is like right in the middle of St. Louis, downtown St. Louis. And you can just drive around it over and over again. I mean, it's a park on all sides, no buildings, nothing. And apparently they were driving, I don't know who it was, some dudes, a car around Kiener Plaza, and they had a giant sign hanging out of the car. And I'm just going to tell you what the sign said, because it did say this. There were photos and video, and it's hysterical. And it said, Occupy D's Nuts. And they were hollering and honking the horn and driving all around Kiener Plaza. And it was insane. And speaking of the Occupy stuff, in addition to them vandalizing and breaking things and defecating publicly, there was tons of rapes. Women were getting raped right and left at these Occupy encampments. That's why my friend Andrew Breitbart, God rest his soul, he's on video going, stop raping people, stop raping people. Because they had at the New York camp, they had like 8 rapes in one weekend. I'm not kidding you. But, you know, we had to get a permit and do all that stuff. The left always gets to do whatever they want, right? They can block roads. They can do all kinds of stuff. Meanwhile, if I have 1 foot on the sidewalk and 1 foot in the street, I'll have an officer in my face telling me what happened. If I see that foot on the road one more time, you're in custody. I'm taking you in custody. It's like, are you serious? And he's like, do you want to try? I'm like, I did not do anything to you. Why are you like this? Like, I'm for real? Chill. But yeah, you can be on the left, and this is what it is. This is how it works. And so, yeah, when they're giving these orders and they don't follow them, yeah, it's not a free speech issue. Stop saying that trespass is free speech, because the people who are trying to argue otherwise, this is what they're arguing. And it's always these people on the right that are so desperate for relevancy to be contrarians. It's misleading. All right, a few other things to touch on too. Good heavens, because we got a lot. Biden's heading to Syracuse. I almost said Syracuse. Good grief. What's wrong with me? I'm going to hear about it. This was after he was told to not go. He wants to designate upstate New York as a workforce hub. I was watching all the stories about parking and traffic, and he arrived in downtown Syracuse like, what, 30 minutes ago? And this, he was told not to go. And he was told not to go because they're the police force there. They're dealing with having lost one of their own. And I just think that it's, first off, that you would, after you have an officer shooting death, and that you would so soon right after, especially when you don't send condolences or anything like that, that seems a little bit tone deaf. But he's going to go up there. He's going to try to spin his numbers, the economy. And I don't think that's going to go over well. I know KJP has already been out trying to do it. Not going to go over very well. But the Syracuse police, they had begged him. They're like, look, because they had 2 officers that were killed in the line of duty up there. And the police were telling them, can you please, you know, we're a little concerned about the timing of Biden's event. I mean, just because it was just last weekend that they had officers killed. So he's going to, so Biden's like, no, I'm going anyway. He's chatting with Micron officials, and it's a memory chip manufacturer. And apparently they're going to get $6.1 billion in grants and another $7.5 billion in loans to help it build new American factories. The timing is just bad, and it's just bad. It just looks bad. that he's, I understand, you know, the chip thing, especially with Taiwan, et cetera. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, and he was met there by the governor. And I think Chuck Schumer was also there meeting him. And he's at the Museum of Science and Technology. But they've, you know, the whole, the area is reeling. And, you know, police now are going to have to deal with this right on top of losing two of their own. We're going to talk more about it. But just that just seemed tone deaf, especially when you weren't, you didn't send any condolences or make any kind of public remarks about their department losing two officers. You know, come on.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So we had this one from yesterday that I ran out of time to get, but it's, you got to get it. This guy, how do you say his name? Jawahan?
That sounds right.
Jawahan Jennings? Jawahan Jennings? 35 years old, was charged with indecent exposure because he could not stop exposing himself inside of a Walmart. Fort Myers, Florida. And there's video. It happened last Thursday at a Fort Myers Walmart. Lee County deputies were called because a dude was exposing himself inside of the store. He was following around female customers while doing it. And as deputies made their way, they came into contact with Jennings near a clothing rack, and he immediately began running away from the deputies. But he was no match for the speed, they said. He's a registered sex offender stemming from a 2020 case out of Connecticut. These, you know why dudes, like perverts like this, do what they do? Because they're not afraid of the consequences. Because the consequences aren't scary enough. Seriously, I need to be put in charge of punishment. Minister of punishments. I won't even take a salary.
Sounds noble. Sounds noble.
It is very noble.
Ministry of, yeah.
I'll do it out of the kindness of my heart. And I think that there need to be terrifying consequences for, so people don't do like what this guy does. This guy, I don't know which one I want to do here. Okay, let's do the ashes one. Okay, so this guy, a thief stole a custom car in Florida. Guy's name's Larry Carter, WFLA. He said the thief stole, oh my gosh, it stole his Hellcat. His 2023 limited edition Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat Red Eye out of his home in Winter Haven. And it had his mother's ashes in it. And the thief returned the ashes. Is that nice? I don't know. I can't. That hurts my brain. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
We're ready to move forward, not back. Are you ready to choose unity over division, dignity over hate, truth over lies? Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy, for democracy? We can do this.
What?
President.
Freedom over democracy. Kane, what did you say when you first heard him say that the original first time?
I was like, yeah, well, doesn't one beget the other? Or why there's no reason for them to be mutually exclusive? Like,
dum, 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 dum. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. And the president is in Syracuse, New York, just having landed maybe 45 minutes to an hour ago, even though he was told... He was told no. The police there asked him, please don't, because they just had two cops killed. They had Officer Michael Jensen and Onondaga County Lieutenant Sheriff Michael, Deputy Lieutenant Sheriff's Deputy Michael Husak. They were killed in a shootout on the 14th. Law enforcement is still dealing with the loss. And the president of the Syracuse Police Benevolent Association, and that's the union representing the officers, they were kind of hoping that Biden wouldn't come because they're, you know, super stressed and they just buried two of their own. And it's, you know, it's a really bad time. And they're now they have the White House to deal with. They, as soon as they buried their officers, they had to turn around and deal with the administration. And so... the Biden White House rejected law enforcement requests to delay the campaign trip. And it's a campaign trip. That's, I mean, it is. And the officers apparently told the press that they, you know, hadn't really had enough time to mourn the loss. They've been planning for the funeral and dealing with, you know, helping the families, etc. And yeah, it was, you know, tragic. And here, you know, the administration, not only did they not even send condolences, but they just rejected their request. They don't care. He's got to go. He's got a campaign trip while he's juiced up. He's got to take advantage of getting juiced up. He apparently can, you know, they can only juice him up so many times a week. So he's got to go when, you know, he's optimally prepared. It's just, how tone deaf is that? You don't even send condolences. You don't even say their names. And you're going to go and reject the requests and then demand that they still accommodate you so you can make a campaign trip. And it's a campaign trip. I know everyone's saying, well, he's going there. It's a big deal with this semiconductor manufacturer, Micron. It's a $6 billion grant. $6.1 billion grant. And the investment is apparently going to support the construction of two other manufacturing facilities or hubs there for Micron. One's going to be in Boise, Idaho, where Micron's based. One is in Clay, New York, outside of Syracuse. And the Clay facility, per the Hill, is focusing on leading-edge DRAM, D-R-A-M, or Dynamic Random Access Memory chip production. And then an Idaho facility, that's going to be the high-volume manufacturing hub that produces DRAM chips, and it's located near their existing research and development facility. So, and we need, look, I get it, we need chip manufacturers. This is something the United States needs to be doing, and it looks like it's anticipatory because Taiwan is the leading chip manufacturer in the world. And I get it, but this is his second time visiting Syracuse to focus specifically on these investments. So he was last there in October of 2022, where it was basically the same thing. He was meeting with Micron, he was speaking about the support, etc. So it's not like it was something that could not have been delayed. And I get a lot of planning goes into these presidential visits. I get it that Micron was probably ready for it, but out of respect to the police whose services you're using, they literally just buried two of their own that were shot and killed on duty. It just seems like the least they could have done is, I mean, it seems like the least they could have done is sent condolences or maybe stopped and spoke with police, met with police as a gesture of goodwill. He didn't even do that. He's got to get up there and do his campaign trip so he can hurry up and get to his beach house in Delaware, I'm sure. It's just so tone deaf. They're just so selfish. So selfish. It's shocking. I don't know how you can be like that. Now, as far as the college protests, now in Georgia, it's spreading. Emory University. Protests there, chaotic. Georgia police took several people into custody. There were tons of videos showing protesters getting in the faces of cops, etc. And it is wild. They've had to use apparently tear gas because they were getting very, very, very out of hand beyond what is acceptable for beyond what's a protected form of speech and a protected protest. And again, it comes down to a lot of these dispersal orders. So this is spreading to every university. But as I said last hour, I think it has a shelf life because what do they do after classes end? Kids pack up their dorms, or the young adults, the students pack up their dorms. They move out. I mean, you'll have summer classes there, but it's not going to be anywhere near the population size that campus is right at the start of fall. In the fall term, or when school's just in the regular academic year. So what's going to happen then? It's going to be tough for them to keep that same level of organization and to keep up that momentum when they go home to their respective cities and their respective towns. It's going to be hard for them to keep up that momentum because they're not going to be there on, there's something about being on a campus that elevates it to a different level. They're not going to have that when they go back home. So what are they going to do? Do you think, Kane, that these are going to peter out when classes are over?
I don't know. It's possible, but I don't see that it's being driven by mostly students. It appears like these people are being bussed in to do this stuff.
So do you think it'll be more, as everybody goes home, you think it'll be a more BLM thing?
Yeah, it's possible.
I mean, it's all incredibly organized.
Yes.
I mean, that's not undebatable. Everybody's got the same tents. Weird, in different cities, how they all have the same tents. Literally the exact same tents.
They were given provisions, too, to last for days as well. Where did all that come from?
They all have the black shirts and sweatshirts. They all have the same, everything. It's all very organized. Very organized. And they've been calling as well at these protests. They've been chanting Infantata, which is like an actual literal, that's a literal call for war. I mean, they're pro-Hamas, pro-war demonstrators. And I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's a real problem. It's a problem, and it's going to be made worse with the Biden administration's weird, his expansion of these international field offices. We talked about this at the top of the first hour in Qatar and Turkey, because they're expanding. They've expanded the refugee admissions. They've heightened, elevated the ceiling for fiscal year 2024 at 125,000 refugees. Now, this does not include anyone at the southern border. And they also have to fill out this form. It's a form I-730, and it's called the Refugee Asylee Relative Position. And so what that does is it allows them, after they get here, then they can get family members in. So it says it's at 125,000 refugees, but is that just the initial people who come in? And does it, and what the statement, which was posted yesterday, it was posted Tuesday, this statement that's on the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services website doesn't actually say whether or not the family members that they can bring in through the completion of that form I-730, whether or not that counts towards the 125,000 cap, or if the 125,000 cap are just the people who come in and fill out the application. You know what I mean? So how do you, because then you're looking at like quadrupling that number. I think that's kind of an important clarification to include. So they've opened these field offices in Accra and Doha, and they're going to have 11 international field offices. They have some others already in Beijing. Interesting. El Salvador, Kenya, and Mexico City. And so, again, that doesn't include any of the people coming in across the southern border, which are millions. This is for refugee status. For refugee status. Why would you... For Qatar and Turkey. Qatar, which has been enabling Hamas. They have the two of the Hamas's leaders that live in Qatar. And they've been doing a lot of lobbying lately in the U.S., by the way. A lot. So, that's... Goodness, you're looking at... You could be looking at a quarter of a million. 125,000. We're just going to go ahead and just ship everybody in. No regard for actual process or establishing what really a refugee is and what it means. Good heavens. Just a mess. An absolute mess. This is kind of part of the problem with this too. And I get that there are, all of this really is just different faces of this same tyranny. Every election, big election, you're like this. It's always the same, and it's always some grievance and the usual suspects that use that grievance as their banner, and they use all of the tension surrounding all of it that's manufactured through protests as a substitute for enthusiasm going into the election, casting a vote for Democrats. They can't get people excited about anything that Democrats have done because Democrats have only brought us high inflation, international instability, and people falling off planes in Afghanistan. So this is their form of enthusiasm. This is how they get people excited. If you get mad, then vote because you're mad. Vote because of this, not because you like the policies. Vote because of these things. I'm glad to see that in Texas, they were like, nope, you didn't disperse. You were given a warning. Now we're coming in. They're not playing around with these people. They're not playing around with them. They're pro-Hamas sycophants. And when you're told to go, you got to go. That has nothing to do with speech, as we've discussed, which still aggravates me. I don't know if you guys saw this guy at Dollar General, speaking of like different tyrants. We'll talk about this coming up. So Clown World had it originally. It said a trans person is harassing a worker for misgendering. So it's at the dollar store. This dude is just trying to do his job, right? He's a big dude. He's trying to do his job. And apparently this chick's credit card was declined and she cosplays as a man. Her credit card was declined at the dollar store. And she got mad at this dude and I guess got lippy with him and he got lippy back at her. And I guess he called her by the wrong pronoun and she got real mad and started recording him as been trying to take his job. Maybe you shouldn't have had your car decline. I don't know. Just wondering.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, this is the forced sale of TikTok. So, the foreign aid bill that also include the forced sale of TikTok, Joe Biden signed that into being. So, that's a real thing that happened now. And TikTok is expected to sue, according to the AP. I don't know how that's going to work out. There's going to be a very interesting, I think that'll be very interesting arguments for and against to hear. They said that this is something that they are going to fight. So we'll see how that goes for them. And apparently we're still watching also the SCOTUS hearing arguments over presidential immunity today. This Biden is banned. You knew this was coming. Gas stoves and appliances in federal buildings. It was the administration that finalized this much discussed rule that you knew was forthcoming. It finalized yesterday that bans the use of natural gas in new federal buildings. And you know this is something that they're going to expand beyond federal buildings, right? We told you that. You knew that was going to happen. China is leading the global nuclear power build-out. They're constructing a total of 26 nuclear power units with a combined capacity of 30.3 gigawatts, the highest in the world. They said that they've, according to news agencies, they approved the development of 5 nuclear power projects and the construction of 5 units. Of course, their air pollution from the coal-powered plants is insane. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the photos of their air quality. It's horrific, but you know, not entirely surprising. They're trying to make this a thing. Bird flu in the milk supply. You have the Federal Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response. They say, well, the risk to humans remains relatively low, but there's no threat that is posed to people or the milk supply from any kind of bird flu. They said that there was one sample that they found inactivated remnants of the virus known as type A. H5N1, and that's about it. That's it. Arizona has passed a bill. Arizona House passed a bill to repeal the 1864 law that went into effect after Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. That was a 32-28 vote on that. So that's going to constantly be litigated. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Columbia, at Yale, all these places, those folks rule the roost. They do whatever they want. And these administrators and the presidents of these universities are weak. They're scared and they don't do anything. You know, you do that in Florida at our universities, we're showing you the door. You're going to be expelled when you're doing that stuff. And you know what? The minute people start to face consequences, you are not going to see this nonsense going on.
That is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And he's right. I mean, you're not going to see it in Florida, and you're definitely not seeing it in Texas either. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this third hour. So This is interesting because Andy Ngo had reported over at Washington Examiner. Oh, no, this is a different story. It was an Andy Ngo. This is a story that has to, this is George Washington University. This is Luke Gentile, who's at, oh, he's at DC Examiner. So it is correct. George Washington University, they said that apparently a lot of the protesters that are there are not even from that school. So that's kind of problematic, right? I mean, they're not even from that school. So they're just, which was going into your point, Kane, that you were making that, yeah, I mean, okay, now you can see they don't care if they cancel classes.
Right.
Because they're not going to be affected. They don't care. Exactly. They don't care. Wow. Well, that's it gives me BLM vibes, especially with St. Louis. Now, maybe it wasn't like this in every city. In St. Louis, when it first got started, it ended up getting hijacked. It was actually hijacked by like people like Cori Bush and the folks that came in from Chicago, because they were actual grassroots activists that were they were trying to solve a problem and mend the relationship between the Black community in North St. Louis and police. And then when this happened, you had all of these Chicago, and they were Chicago agitators. The reason why I say they're Chicago agitators, because they released the names and origin city of these people who came in. What was it? Something like over 80% of the people that were arrested were from they were not from St. Louis, and the majority of the arrested were from Chicago. Interesting. Because it's a communist hotbed. This has been since the 60s in the days of the Weathermen. I mean, why do you think the Bill Ayers and all them went up there to teach? There's a reason why. So they had a lot of these people that came in and that started and led a lot of the riots. When it got destructive, that's when the out-of-town people came in. Now, I think what happens is in some of these cities, you'll have professional rioters. And I say they were professional because a lot of these people were getting paid. If you go back to, let me actually pull this up. This had to do with when the riots first got started. And it was the group that had been ACORN, and they became a different group. And they ended up hiring some of these professional, Cut the Check. It trended on Twitter because they stopped paying these out-of-town agitators. These people came in and they started getting in front of the cameras. You would see people in front of the cameras that were unknown to St. Louis or Northside or anything like that. Instead of, at first, you would have grassroots folks and you would have church leaders together doing interviews, etc. And church leaders were getting involved and they were trying to smooth everything over, keep the peace, right? While a solution and a mending of the relationship could take place. They were also trying to get more Black residents to become police officers, right? So then, all of a sudden, you had all of these agitators start coming in. And you had these professional agitators that started getting the camera time over the grassroots folks. And then, lo and behold, and they were working with it. It's called MORE. And it's what ACORN became. And it stands for, I'm going to pull this up. It was like something like something St. Louis Housing. I can't remember what it calls. Anyway, it's called MORE. It was I can't remember the acronym. That's not the point of the story. They were paying these out of state agitators to come in. And then when they stopped getting their check, they trended Cut the Check on social media. And they were blasting the entity for not paying them for coming in to, quote unquote, help out the grassroots actors. They all told on themselves and they stopped getting paid. I mean, it's still up. The stuff is still up on Twitter. I've written about it. We've talked about it on air before. So you started, a lot of the grassroots people weren't getting the airtime, and then their message and their advocacy got lost in favor of all of the violence and the arson and everything else. So that's what it feels like watching some of this now at some of these colleges. It happened with Occupy too, same thing. That was all organized. This is all organized. It's spreading to these college campuses. It started with all the Ivy Leagues, and now they're, notice how it's very, Then it goes to UT Austin, very leftist. Goes to Emory, a lot of leftists there. Very, very interesting, is it not? Did you see the schedule? I shared the schedule in Slack with the guys. I think this is Columbia's schedule. They have a full day, guys, on their calendar, the protesters at Columbia. So at 8 a.m., they wake up for yoga and meditation. At 9 a.m., they have poetry reading.
This will calm them down a bit, you think?
And at 10 a.m., it's a daily, quote-unquote, Palestine updates.
Oh, still a fake country?
11 o'clock, kite making. I guess that's for the bombs.
I guess so.
You know, like how they had the hang gliders? Yeah. At 12 o'clock, it's healing justice. At 1 o'clock, it's lunch. 2 o'clock, Black ex-Palestinian solidarity. At 3:30, reporting on the fake country of Palestine with Rama Zain. At 4 o'clock, labor in with fake country Palestine. At 5 o'clock, Israelism discussion. At 6 o'clock, Kaddish reading. 7 o'clock, sunset vigil. 8 o'clock, performance with Jurakhan. And at 9 p.m., there's a film screening. You know what I don't see in there?
I also don't see it.
Jobs! When do they work? When do you work? You have all this time for nonsense. When do you work? Doesn't it get tired to have, like, discussion and these, like, focus groups, like, every single day?
I don't see a job on here, but I also don't see protesting on here.
Well, because they live there now.
Aren't they, like, protesters?
It's their free speech to take over property that's not theirs.
But nothing in this itinerary is protesting.
So they live there now.
Get it.
That's just their daily lives.
I'm confused.
Yeah, they live there now. They're not going to leave. And if you try to make them leave, they'll get violent. And then they'll claim, but you're oppressing me. And then you have these half-wits that are desperately seeking attention on the right that go, that's a protected form of race speech. They do that. Yeah.
Can I make a point I tried to make last hour
Steve.
I was thinking, if protesting is like about spreading awareness and like bringing attention to something with big signs, why are they covering their faces and like blocking journalists from even entering? So what's the point? What are you doing?
Steve asks a very good question. Very valid question, Steve.
And since it's valid, our mainstream media will never ask it.
It's never going to get asked because it makes sense. I mean, Steve makes a very good point.
It's not about awareness.
Yeah, why would they? Because they are mean to words. I mean, it's very chest choppy, like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, very chest choppy. Maybe they work at the sunset vigil. I don't know. To the schedule.
That's true.
Well, would they know? We know they don't work, and we know that they're really not about advocacy. And all of them, interestingly enough, they were all wearing the face masks. Everyone's wearing a face mask now.
Yeah.
How convenient. Did I tell you? Okay, speaking of face masks. Did I talk about this? What I saw at brunch last Sunday?
What did you say?
Two people wearing a face mask.
At brunch?
Mm-hmm.
Were they robbing the place?
No. Did I not talk about this?
No, I don't think
okay,
so.
Hold up. I did not know that this was still... Protesters are doing it because they're dumb. And I expect them to. They've been quadruple vaxxed. So they're like, math work. But I was having brunch with my family and there were two people who came... And it's a small restaurant. It was real crowded. And two people came in and they were wearing... Nobody else is wearing a mask. And they were wearing actual masks. They were not cane robbers.
Okay.
They were wearing the face diapers. They were gigantic face diapers. And they come in and they were looking around the restaurant like how people who want attention would look around the restaurant. They were looking around the restaurant like, do you see us in our masks that come up to my eyebrows? And, you know, they were following their adherence of the new science. So when they sat down at the table, they were able to briefly take their masks off, because as you guys know, any kind of coronavirus, the particles of that only live at higher altitudes. When you get to table altitude, they don't live there anymore. That's why when you stand up, you have to put the face diaper on your mouth hole. And then when you sit down, you can take the face diaper off because the germs don't live at that lower altitude, the table altitude. Don't question the new science.
Alternative science is
interesting. Questioning the science is anti-science, Kane.
It's very interesting.
Now, the other interesting thing is that it would hang off their ear when they ate, and then they would put their mask back on. But then I noticed that they had some mimosas. So for all the people who got mad at me on X, like, maybe they were like cancer. They were cancer patients. Yes. Of all the cancer, I have two friends who are battling right now, stage four. Two different friends. I don't really see them undergoing treatment that takes out their immunity, go to crowded restaurants, and drink alcohol. So, your mouths. But here's the thing. Whenever they put their masks back on, I am not kidding you. They would raise their seats a little bit and make sure everyone could. I felt like I was on candid camera. I actually thought I was being duped. I was looking around. I'm like, somebody recorded me. What is this? It was so obvious that they wanted everybody to see them. So obvious. Like, you know, the passive, maybe I'm the only person that does this. Whenever I see someone not use their blinker, it makes me mad. And so I will overuse my blinker. And I make sure everybody sees me using my blinker. To like the nth degree, right? They had that energy with the masks, Kane. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Like, it is 2024.
And you know what? There is a slight chance that somebody could be immunocompromised to the point where
drinking
they need,
all the alcohol.
They need a mask when they get drunk. I see. I can kind of see that.
Oh, it's the science, you know.
Right.
The science.
That alternative science has been pretty interesting.
My favorite was when one of them took a phone call and they pulled their mask down underneath their chin because, you know, as long as it's on your face somewhere, the magical properties of the mask create an invisible force field around all of your head orifices to prevent any of the germs or bad spirits from entering. I don't know if you guys were aware of that.
Oh.
It has those magical properties, the face diaper.
It's today years old when I found that out.
Don't question the new science. It's anti-science to question science. That's the new science. I had to share that. So anyway, these protesters were all out with the face diapers. Okay. My friend Kurt, last thing, was like, why are none of them pretty? My response was, well, if you can't be hot, be a revolutionary.
The bitterness comes from somewhere. Yeah,
it makes sense. Well, let's say I can't be pretty, so I guess I'll be a revolutionary.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Every time a police officer puts on that shield every morning, their husband or wife, whatever it is, or child, worries about, will they get that phone call? Will they get that phone call? I got one of those phone calls in a different circumstance.
Oh, my gosh. Joe Biden says he's giving remarks. He's in Syracuse. He goes, yeah, every time a police officer puts on that shield every morning, their husband or wife, whatever it is, or child, worries about, will they get that phone call? I got one of those phone calls. Because, you see, my son Bo was a police officer, and he was shot and killed by a bad guy. Oh, my gosh. How many ways can Bo die? How many ways does Bo die? I'm not kidding you. That's what he said. He didn't say the bow part, but that's what he was getting ready to say. Tell me somebody was in the audience, like a member of his staff waving their arms. Like, stop. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Come on. This is ridiculous. Every morning, put that shield on. Worries about, good grief. He's been like, if you listen to Biden talk about himself, he's like the Forrest Gump. He was there for everything. Yep. He started civil rights. He was there for World War II, man. You know, he was there for everything. He was the tar pits in Iraq. His son died in every one of them. Son died all over the world. Same one. It's like a Forrest Gump type of story. If you believe it, which I don't. And his own staff needs to make him stop doing this. That's when it sounds disingenuous. He doesn't try to tell stories about himself as a way to empathize with people. He tells stories about himself because he's so self-aggrandizing. He's infatuated with his own image and his own idea of what his legacy is. That's what it is, really. I don't know. It's just crazy. Now, tomorrow, I will, again, we're playing it day by day. I have to call in every day to find out if I have federal jury duty the next day. And we have a whole other week of this, too. So I may be here tomorrow. I may not be. If you get the morning prep email, that means I'm in. In the meantime, today's stupidity game.
It is Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, press secretary, doing a gaggle aboard Air Force One. She's asked about quarter one GDP. The number was supposed to be 2.5%. 1.6 is where it ended up. Here's how that went.
The economy is slowing. The expectation was it was going to be 2.5% in the first quarter, and it was 1.6. And we saw the statement from the president talking about how it's been 3% over the last year, but was 1.6 about what the White House had projected?
So look, you saw this in the statement, so I'm just going to reiterate just a little bit here what the GDP report showed. The economy remains strong, and we've been talking about the steady.
The economy remains strong.
It does, but not. It doesn't really. Somebody doesn't get out of their house. Folks, that does it for today's program. Tomorrow, we've made it to Friday. Like I said, I may be in, depending on federal jury duty. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Substack, chapter and verse. Have a great night.